We praise you. Everybody, turn with me to the book of John, John 15. John 15, verses 1 and 2 is our main text for this morning. Lord willing, we will finish our study that we've been doing for several weeks on the I am statements of Jesus Christ. I hope it's been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me to do the studying and just spending the time with the Lord. Let me say this before we get started. God is faithful and God is in control. You haven't went too far, you know. Sometimes we feel like we're such a mess or we've been so unfaithful to the Lord that there's no coming back from that. Well, the world might would say something silly like that, but we belong to this wonderful, amazing God who forgives us of all of our sins. And, you know, he takes, when I repent of my sins, he takes them and he throws them away. He throws them as far as the east is from the west. And he says, I'm not going to bring that up anymore. You are forgiven. And God wants to bring healing to us. God wants us to have peace of our salvation. Don't get me wrong. He wants us to be faithful. But he doesn't condemn like the world condemns. He doesn't condemn like those lies of Satan. So if you've fallen, if you've messed up, if you've had some setbacks, and if you're sorry, ask the good Lord to forgive you. And he's like, it never happened. Okay? And to talk to those this morning that are struggling, not just with temptations or a setback or a failure, because we all know what that feels like, but to those that are just hurting and confused, maybe you're stressed out. The world's crazy. There ain't no denying that. You know, everything's nutty right now. Probably going to be nutty for the next day or two. You know what I mean? But listen, man, we serve a God that is victorious. We are more than overcomers. In Victory Life Church, we want to live like we've already won the victory. Not like we're just biting our fingernails, just stressed out beyond belief about what the newsman said or this or that. You know, but man, we are victorious through Jesus Christ. We need to walk and live like we're overcomers because there's a world, there is a lost and dying world that needs us out there. So we need to have our focus on the cross, our focus on Christ, and to have that peace. Because he says, I give you peace, not like the world gives. I give you real peace. And we want to grab a hold of that. We want to take advantage of that. Can I get a witness? Go ahead, give the Lord some praise and turn to John 15. John 15, verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your will being done in this service. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, that what needs to be said will be said, that we will leave here changed people, excited and refreshed, and our burdens will be left behind. Our burdens will be left at the foot of the cross. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives, Lord God. Let us grow in you. Let us be obedient to you. Father God, let us be obedient to the pruning process. Let us be obedient to you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in church said, amen. So this is the last of our study with the I am statements, but this is also the one that I picked out to close everything off. This is the last I am statement in the book of John that Jesus gives. This is the night of his betrayal. This is the night of his arrest. This is where the cross is looming over his head. This is the night of the Last Supper. And he's spending these final moments with his disciples, and he says this right here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So he is the true vine. What does a vine do? A vine brings life to the branches. Amen. The vine brings life, that nutrients, to the branches. Okay, well, who's the branches? We are the branches. Okay, humanity is the branches, but also Christians are the branches. And I'll try and explain that in more detail in a moment. But I want you to look at Acts chapter 4 in verse 12. It should be on your monitor. But listen, his I am statement, I am the true vine. So he says, I am. Remember a short little tiny recap. When Jesus Christ says, I am, he is saying, I am God. He is saying, I am the Messiah. I am the one you are to be looking for. Can I get a witness? Goes clear all the way back to Moses in the wilderness, burning bush. Moses says, let me go see what's going on with this. Let me check this out. God begins to speak to Moses through the burning bush. He says, Moses, look, baby, I need you to go back to Egypt. I got a job for you to do. They go back and forth. God says, Moses, I need you to go back there, set my people free. Moses says, well, who will I tell the people sent me? The burning bush, our God, says, tell them I am, sent you. So these people that Jesus is ministering to know what he's saying when he says, I am. The religious elite take a lot of offense at that. The religious elite were basically into Moses worship at this time and place. And here's Jesus Christ saying, I am. I am equal with the Father. Just like God the Father in that pillar of fire led our ancestors through the wilderness, I am the light of the world. And he's saying that to us as well today. And he says, church people, Victory Life Church, I am that true vine. I am God. I am the true vine. Not one of many avenues to get to eternal life. I am the one and only true vine. Anything else is not going to work out. Can I get a witness? Acts 4 and verse 12, the true vine. And there is salvation in no one else. That is so unpopular. That's fighting words nowadays. Okay, but there's some things that we can't just agree to disagree on. I'm not saying people can't have their own opinion, but you better not change your opinion because you're worried about hurting somebody's feelings. You better not candy coat or sugarcoat this. This is the gospel right here. This is the good news, okay? Like I said, it ain't that popular nowadays, but the word of God doesn't change, amen? And he says, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other way to have eternal life. There's no other way to get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine and you branches, you need to be connected to me. We know what he's talking about. He is the only way. Look at John 14 and verse 6. This is on your monitors. It's on your bulletins. This is a couple verses down from our main verses this morning, okay? We're talking about the true vine, the only way to eternal life. And God bless you. God bless you for being in church this morning. You could have done a number of any other things, but you're here to worship the Most High God. And my prayer is that you have already accepted the true vine. My prayer is that you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because like I said, he is the only way to eternal life. And please do not leave here today without making that decision. It is the best and most important decision you will ever make. But John 14 and verse 6, this is when Jesus is talking to Doubting Thomas. And this is one of our I am statements from earlier in our study. But Jesus is saying, I'm going away. I'm going away, guys. Thomas is saying, the disciples are heartbroken. And this is what Jesus says to Thomas, John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it doesn't matter how sincere and how devoted you are to your philosophy, your philosopher, your worldview of being kind to other people and not wanting to hurt bugs and all that stuff. It's not about being sincere. It's about accepting what Jesus Christ did for you. That is our way to eternal life. See, we have a problem. We have a sin problem. Okay? In our sin, every single one of us, for all have sinned, all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. There's a standard, and that standard is Jesus Christ. That standard is perfection, and we can't reach it on our own. But for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, right? So when we choose to not accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because we don't like how a preacher delivered a message or we don't understand how a loving God could allow this to happen, then take your questions to the Lord. But don't miss out on this opportunity to be saved and your sins to be forgiven just because you're having trouble grasping one thing or two things or a multitude of things. Because I guarantee you, if you haven't made that commitment, I promise you, you have enough faith. You have enough faith to take that step and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You already have that. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way. He is the only way. Not a bunch of different ways. You chose a good way, but there's other ways. No, that's not how this works. There's only one way. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this is pretty exclusive, and it ain't popular, but this is the truth. This is the word of God, and this is what we live by. Can I get a witness? So we get it when Jesus says, I am the true vine. I have the life-giving sap that you need. I am the source of eternal life. I am your avenue and access to the Creator God. Can I get a witness? So I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So let's meet the players in our little sermon this morning. Can't believe I said that, but sounds like I studied that and kind of tweaked that last night. Maybe I did. Maybe I'll never say that again. Maybe I'll say it every Sunday from here on out. No, I don't think so, Paul. Please don't. We got three people. Three individuals that we're talking about. The Son is the vine. Jesus Christ is the vine, the source of life. And I do mean that. I mean, Jesus Christ is the source of life, not just eternal life, but all life. Well, Paul, can you back that up? Because, okay, well, look, let me go. I brought my good book. Let me go over here to John. Which is where we're at. John chapter 1. Let me read a few verses. Talking about Jesus Christ. Bear with me for 15, 20 minutes, whatever. Multiplied by 42. John chapter 1, first few verses, ESV. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Talking about Jesus, and the Word was God. Listen, he was in the beginning with God. Check this part out. All things were made through him. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about God. Well, which one are you talking about? I'm talking about them both. All things were made through him. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. So when I say Jesus is the true vine, or when scripture says that, he isn't just the source or our avenue, our access to eternal life. He is the source of all life. Can I get a witness? This is how important Jesus Christ is. There is no avenue or access to eternal life in any other road. It's not going to work out. So stop wasting your time. If you're thinking, well, I'm just gonna be a good person, and I have this code, and I'm gonna live by my code. You can't even live by your code. I went through my unsaved years of having a code for myself that I invented. And yeah, seriously, it's pretty wacky, but whatever. I couldn't even hold it up, man. But this is how I looked through the world and how I judged everybody. Oh, you're rotten. You're nasty because you do this and I don't do that. I sin in this way, not like you sin. So you're nasty. Can I get a witness? All God's people said, you're nasty. Nothing. The Son is the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. And we are the branch. So we see how this thing's coming together, right? John 15 and verse 2. Every branch in me, this is crazy stuff. I mean, this is serious stuff right here. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If a branch is not bearing fruit, this is what Jesus is saying. If we have a branch that's not bearing any kind of fruit, well, then that branch is dead. Okay, and for the life of the vine, for the life of the tree, we want to get rid of that dead branch. That's kind of scary, right? That's kind of scary. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Why? Because it's dead. But he's really talking about because if there is a branch that is not bearing fruit, and we are the branches, you're not bearing fruit, you are spiritually dead. You are not connected to the vine. You are not saved, in other words. You haven't made that commitment. So there will be a time, there will be a place, if you do not accept Jesus Christ, when he says right here, he says, he takes away. He takes it away. What does that mean? We all know what it means. But look at John 15 and verse 6. Look at John 15 and verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. See, Jesus is painting this picture. He's in the final hours with his disciples, and he's talking to them and saying, look, I want you guys to not stagnate, but I want you to grow in relationship. I want you to mature in relationship. You're going to go through a lot of crazy stuff over the next little while, but you stay connected to the true vine. Don't try and lean on your own understanding. Don't try and say, well, I'm Peter, and I sure made a big mistake, and just hold on to that vine. Stay connected to that vine. Don't try and go off and do your own thing. Don't be so distracted or so distressed that you cause problems for yourself. Just hang on to the vine. Trust in God and continue to obey God. Look at Matthew 25 and verse 36. 46. Matthew 25, 46. Talking about God's judgment. Because, I mean, here's how this works. And I know this is basic stuff. This is basic stuff, but maybe somebody needs to hear it. You know, maybe you need to hear it. Maybe Preacher Paul needs to hear it. You know, but so what we're talking about is God's judgment on the person that has not accepted his son. I can't serve a God. What kind of loving God would send me to hell? We are literally sending ourselves to hell if we don't accept that precious gift. You are slapping God the Father in the face when you say, I'm going to do it my way. I don't need Jesus Christ. He's saying, no, he is the true vine. He is the way, the truth, and life. He is the good shepherd. He is the bread of life. He's the door. He's the gate. This is the only way. And God made provision for us by sending his son, allowing his son and Jesus Christ being obedient to die for us, this horrible death, so we could be forgiven. And so shame on us, man, if we say, nah, I ain't buying that. That's too easy. That sounds like some World of Warcraft. I don't know. I don't make a fist. You better accept it. You better accept it because time's running out for all of us. You know, tomorrow's not promised to you. Matthew 25, 46. And these will go away. And these will go away. The branches. In the end of time, he'll separate the good fish from the bad fish, the wheat from the weeds. And these will go away into eternal punishment. So I don't care what grandma's church told you or what your science professor told you or whatever about, well, maybe you'll go into some punishment for a couple years, but it'll work out. People will be, no, man, no. Do not add to or take away from Scripture. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That branch that is connected to the true vine. That's me and you. You've made that commitment. We're connected to that life-giving vine. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. And God is so good. He is so faithful. John 15 and verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That's eternal judgment. See, God's judgment was poured out on Jesus Christ. Do you guys understand that? God's judgment was poured out on Jesus Christ. So when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I won't get that judgment. I won't get it because it was poured out on Jesus Christ. So there it is again. When I choose not to accept it, I'm like shaking my fist at God saying, thanks for nothing. I don't need that. I'll do it on my own. Well, he's not. Okay, there you go. You're going to get what you ask for. You're going to get what you want. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Every branch that does bear fruit. So, every branch or every Christian is going to bear fruit. If you're not a Christian, you're not truly connected to the vine, and you're not going to bear fruit, and you're going to be cut off and thrown away into the fire. Okay? We see branches all the time, doing yard work or whatever. If it ain't connected, it's all rotten and dried up, and it's not good for nothing but to be burned up. So we get the picture. But if we are connected, if we have accepted Christ, he said, look, one of the signs of being a Christian is that you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. So that's something we need to look at. Don't be so concerned about looking at other people and how their fruit bearing's going. You know what I mean? We pray about that, but you know what I mean? It's us. You know, I got this big old log in my eye, and you got this tiny little speck, you know? And so God says, look, deal with the big log in your eye. Take care of that. Then you can go around dealing with all this other stuff. But we got a full-time job, 24/7, 365. That's how the kids talk nowadays. Just giving you a little 411. Yeah, that's how kids talk. What? They say, JK. What's JK? Oh, that means joking, Dad. JK. TMI. Well, hey, TMI. Too much information, Dad. Oh, no, it's crazy, ain't it? Try getting a text from a teenage girl nowadays. What? Okay, anywho, moving forward, tell the truth, shame the devil. We are supposed to bear fruit. There is going to be a change in us as individuals. When I'm connected to that life-giving sap, when I'm connected to the true vine, there's going to be some changes in who I am. Not just eternal salvation, but there's going to be some things that God wants to work on in my life. Matter of fact, look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We got the fruit of the Spirit. So we're talking about fruit. We're talking about bearing a good result for the kingdom of God. Bearing a good result for the kingdom of God. In my personal life, I'm talking about growth. I'll get it. In other people's life, I'm going to be bearing a good result with them. Anyways, moving forward. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I just don't have any joy. And sometimes we go through a lot, man. And it's hard to cultivate that joy. But God wants us to have joy. And so the fruit of the Spirit, talking about joy, He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He's saying, okay, yeah, you're going through a mess. Okay, not, he's not saying it ain't a mess, but he says, turn your eyes on Jesus. Rejoice in him. See what he's done for you. Let that begin to cultivate some joy in your life. Yeah, he knows your world is crazy. But see, God, who dwells outside of time and sees the whole thing, he knows, loved one, beloved, my dear child, it's going to work out. I don't want you to be miserable just because you don't see what's around the bend. I do, and I'm your loving father. And it might be 10 times more crazy tomorrow, but he's going to be right there with us. And he says, just take it one day at a time, and you can have joy. So there's some growth. There's some fruit bearing that God wants in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How about that? I used to could brag. I mean, I you're not supposed to brag, and I don't go around bragging. You know, but I used to have a pretty good self-control. I could be like, no, that's not good. I don't need to partake in that. That'll get my sugar messed up. I don't do it. That's the devil right there. That's the devil's delicacy someone brought into the back of the church and set up. No, I'm playing. But God does want us to have self-control. And that's an area that some of us need to work on. I'm not pointing at anybody. I'm pointing at me. You know, these are things that God wants us to grow in. Anyways, this is the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about bearing fruit at the moment. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So as I grow in these fruits of the Spirit, they're not just going to be bearing fruit in my life, but they're going to be bearing fruit in other people's life. If I'm kind and I'm gentle, well, then I'm going to be kind and gentle to you, and that's going to minister to you. You know what I mean? If I'm patient, I'm going to be patient with you, and that's going to minister to you. Does that make sense? If I'm faithful, if God is working on me about being faithful like my big brother Jesus, and then with my brother or my sister in Christ who's going through a hard time, and maybe they're not the most lovable person at the moment, I still want to be faithful to them and show them the love of Jesus, and that'll minister to them. Can I get a witness? Go to John 15 and verse 5. It's right there. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me, whoever is doing life with me, whoever is connected with me, whoever is not running off, doing their own thing, going back and forth. I'm faithful. I'm not faithful. I'm going to do it my way. No, I want to follow this road of temptation. For whoever just hangs on to Jesus Christ for the long haul, doing life with him. You know what I mean? Sure, you'll have your moments of weakness. Sure, you'll mess up from time to time. It's part of living. But we don't stay that way. Satan will say, you done messed up, just stay there. Just stay there. You're miserable. You're messed up. You ain't no good to nobody. God says, no, dust yourself off and come running back to me. We're going to throw a big party. We're going to put the robe back on you. We're going to put the ring back on you. We're going to put the sandals back on you. And we're going to rejoice. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides with me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. What's that about? So I said, well, it's not just about bearing fruit, but God wants us to bear much fruit. Those of us that, well, if you garden, or if you have trees in your garden, you say you have some fruit trees. I don't have fruit trees, but I grew up where both of my grandfathers had fruit trees, you know. So a pear tree that bears fruit, that's dandy, that's sweet, that's awesome, that's great. But a pear tree that bears much pears, that's awesome. You know, and God's saying, yeah, bear fruit. That's a sign that you belong to me. But I want you to bear much fruit. I want your tree branches. I want you as branches just to be almost touching the ground. You got so much fruit on you for the kingdom. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So if I'm not connected to that vine, Jesus Christ said, you can't do nothing. Well, hold on. Now, I know plenty of Christians that aren't as productive as some of my unsafe friends. So what's that mean? I know plenty of unsafe people that are extremely educated, do all kinds of crazy things. You know, okay, Jesus isn't talking about that. Of course, the unsaved folks can be productive and build skyscrapers and bridges and whatnot. He's talking about things of eternal value. When you're bearing fruit for the kingdom, this is eternal value. And he wants us to bear much fruit. Can I get a witness? John 15 and verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now it's getting down to the nitty and the gritty, right? Right? Because he says, you're going to bear fruit. Matter of fact, when you abide in me, you're going to bear much fruit. He said, but here's kind of how that thing works. It's in the furnace of affliction where God makes his man. It's in that pruning process. Any good gardener, I'm acting like I know anything about gardening. I got friends that do it that are great about it. I've done my due diligence. I've done my research. And look, pruning is good for the productivity of whatever you're growing. It's true. Okay, but he says he prunes us that we might bear more fruit, to be more productive. So if you're a dead branch, he's just going to get rid of you because you're not connected. And he'll throw you into the fire. But if you're connected and you're bearing fruit, he says, I want you to bear more fruit. So God's preferred method to help us bear more fruit is trials, storms, the things that we don't like in life, the things that we don't want to get involved in. God says, no, this is a necessary thing in your life to make you more like your big brother Jesus, because I want you to bear much fruit. You know, and God knows what he's doing. He knows how to get his people to run down to the altar. He knows how to get his people to really, really pray and long for him. And a lot of that, often that has to do with being in that hopeless situation where Paul can't do it on his own. It doesn't look like Paul's going to be able to do it on his own. Ain't no outside entity going to come around and just pull you out of the mud this time, Chief Areno, Bob Areno. That's how the kids talk. They're a wild bunch nowadays. He prunes us, but that's part of the process. Remember, don't forget, he's devoted to you and he loves you and is completely faithful to you. So he's not being mean. He's not trying to rain on your parade. He's not trying to steal your fun. He says, time is short and I need some maturity out of you. So we're going to speed up the process a little bit, because when that fire gets hot, buddy, you run into the arms of the Most High God. That's when we really pray. You know, look at Job talking about somebody that knows about trials and storms and tribulations. Have you considered God's servant Job? Job 23 in verse 10, this is what Job said. But he knows the way that I take. God knows me. God knows where I'm at. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, not if he tries me, but because you are connected to the true vine, the source of life, because you are connected to him, he is going to bring on those trials, because he doesn't just want you to bear fruit. He wants you to bear much fruit. He doesn't want you to get complacent or satisfied with where you're at in your relationship with the Lord. He says, I want you to go deeper. Sometimes we're not going to go deeper unless things get really, really tough. Can I get a witness? But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. Job says, at the end of this mess, and I don't know when it's going to end. And boy, wouldn't we be so much happier if we knew when this trial, whatever trial we're going through, when we get through the end of it, if we knew, like, well, November the 15th, everything's coast going to be clear. Man, we would just grip and hang on till the end of it. But we don't know when these things are going to end. No more than Job did. And Job says, well, at the end of it, I know I'm going to come out as gold. I know I'm going to come out purer than I was going into this. Because it's in that furnace where God purifies us, where he makes us more like our big brother Jesus. And we want to bear much fruit. Amen. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I want to do this before we close. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day to do it. So this is what I want to do. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And it sure would be swell if you come to me after church and say, I prayed that prayer and I'm a new Christian. I would like that a lot. But if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're talking about eternal judgment. We're talking about eternal damnation. We're talking about you saying, well, I'm just going to do it on my own. Not going to work out for you. But if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, we have eternal life. We have joys everlasting. Growing in relation, try and wrap your mind around this. Growing in relationship and intimacy with the Lord God for all eternity. Growing with him for all eternity. Enjoying him for all eternity. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ, because you must be born again. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I have fallen short and broken your law. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I repent and turn from my sins. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior, Jesus. From this day forward, and I will serve you for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So if you just prayed that simple prayer and you meant it, you're a Christian. You belong to the family of God now. Okay, if you did that, now you're a Christian. All right, now you need to put $8 to $10 in offering plate. I'm playing. What you need to do is stay in the Word of God. Read the Bible, read the book of John. Stay in the Bible, read the book of John, start there, pray, talk to God, get involved in a church. Do these things. We'd love to have you around here.